Good morning. Listen. I'd like to call the House Education Committee to order. Today is Friday, March 16th. No, it's not. Is it?
17th.
Sorry. Happy St. Patrick's Day to all our friends and family across the pond. Let the record reflect the time is 08 o'clock. Today we have present Representative Prox, Representative McCormick, Representative McKay, Representative Hemshoot, and my co-chair, Representative Ruffridge, and myself, Representative Allard. I'd like to remind the committee members and those in the audience to silence or turn off your cell phones, please. The staff that will be assisting us today are Linda Jensen with House Records. Welcome, Linda. Sydney Truitt with the LIO. Thank you. And Lindsay Kosser, House Committee 8. We have one item on today's agenda. The committee will hear the annual progress report and district grants. So I'd like to invite Susan McKenzie, Director, Division of Innovation and Education Excellence, and Deborah Riddle to the front, please. And Deborah is with Division Operations Management, Division of Innovation and Education Excellence. Welcome, and please put your name on the record and begin your presentation. I think I could be a little bit more descriptive, though. This is going over all the pockets of money that come from everywhere, federal grants, state and local contributions, donations, revenue, everything to all of our school districts, 54 of them in the state of Alaska. I just want to be clear that's you have all that information ready to go.
Chair Allard, this is Susie McKenzie, Director of Innovation and Education Excellence. We have information from the FIC report that we were asked to present.
Okay, I hope it's everything that I've asked for. Thank you, and proceed.
For the record, this is Susie McKenzie, Director of Innovation and Education Excellence for the Department of Education and Early Development. Chair Allard, today, Division's Operation Manager Deborah Riddle and I will be presenting on the annual report that is presented to the legislature each year. We start with our mission, vision, and purpose. DEED exists to provide information, resources, and leadership so that we...
Stop you for a minute. I don't believe this is what I've requested, and I don't know why, but I don't see any. Do you have fiscal charts of all the pockets of money that come? Because we've already received this. Haven't we already received this briefing?
Chair Allard, you have received this report by February 15th every year. This is the We are presenting on it, but this is a report that we provide to you every year by February 15th.
Okay. And our thank you. This isn't what I requested. Did you want to?
Through the chair, this is Deborah Riddle, Division Operations Manager. We do have information within this presentation that talks about all of the funds that come through the Department of Education to the districts, all the federal dollars. That is the information that we have available.
You have it broken down in dollar signs so we can
yes.
see those numbers.
Yes, in the FIC report, yes.
Can we
do.
Take a brief at ease and you yes. hand those out? Thank you. Brief at ease. Thank you. Call to order the Education Committee. Do you have the report that shows the $2.5 billion is an overall end of all the finances and all the money? Because I don't know if I see that overall number. We can get through it, and then at the end, I'll ask you some questions. I plan on bringing an economist in to go through all of the numbers. So if I don't see it here, the numbers that we have pulled from DEEDS and all the financial reports that come up to $2.5 billion that goes into all the school districts, we will come in and reevaluate. So hopefully that's in here.
So through the chair, this is Deborah Riddle. We're providing you there's the base student allocation information that we can get for you. And then this is all of the other federal dollars, federal and state grants that go to districts that come through the Department of Education that we pass through to the districts.
All right. And then it also shows federal revenue in here?
The federal grants that we provide to the to the districts.
What about the revenue that DEEDS gets? Is that in here as well?
That it is. No, not just to the districts. We can get the full grant award notification information to you.
So next time when we ask for information, instead of coming down here and not getting that and providing that information, we need to make sure we have that. This is a public committee. Public needs to know, and This is why I made sure that we have an economist coming in to go through and dissect, because there's a lot of information that is missing that I specifically requested. Go ahead with your presentation.
Through the chair, this is Susie McKenzie. Slide two of the presentation is the purpose of the Department of Education and Early Development is that DEED exists to provide information, resources, and leadership to support an excellent education for every student every day so that they are able to shape worthwhile and satisfying lives for themselves. Slide three, please. We have five strategic priorities, and you have seen those before, but from supporting students to read at grade level by the end of third grade to increasing career and technical education, closing the achievement gap, preparing, attracting, and retaining education professionals, and improving safety.
Thank you. I want to stop you for a minute. You said you already gave this report to us on February 15th.
It is a report that is due and provided.
This isn't what I'm looking for. I want to go over the numbers. So can we skip through all these slides since we've already had these slides and go to the report on the numbers? All the funding, every revenue, everything that goes to every single school district across the state of Alaska. It's going to be a deep dive. So if we can just skip to annual report.
Okay.
Federal programs overview is fine, and then we'll go into the annual report.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, through the chair, this is Deborah Riddle. So in the report on page 7, it starts talking about all of the federal programs that we receive funds for that pass through to the districts. There are several pages there that list each title by name, what they do, and the percentage of funds that go through to the district. So for the most part, when we get a grant from the federal U.S. Department of Education, we get a grant award notification. About 95% of those funds go through the district. 5% or so is left at the state to pay for salaries and to administer the grants. So even though it looks like a large number, most of it goes through to the districts. And so on page 7, it goes through and it talks about 7 through 14. It talks about all of the different programs, what the money can be spent for, because each of these federal pots of money have, therefore, either a specific population or purpose, and the districts have they need to work within those parameters of the funds.
Thank you. We're going to take a brief at ease. Committee of Education Committee back to order. There's an annual report as required by AS 14.03.078, February 15, 2023. I see that you guys are going over the overview of the federal programs overview. We already know about this stuff. We've been inundated with information. The report is, this presentation I was told wasn't given to us. If you could quickly go through it, because I want to go over the numbers. So I want to give you just a couple minutes. If everybody can hold their questions to the end, write them down. I want to hurry up through these slides quickly, and then I want to go over all the numbers and all the buckets of the funds. Thank you.
Okay. So through the chair, this is Deb Riddle. We'll start back. This report has, if you look on page, I think it's page 3 of the report, it goes over the list of all of the requirements for this report, and we're going to go through each one of them. I'll do it very quickly. So the first one that we have to report to you is the report card to the public, and this is one that is required by both the state and feds, and it goes over a lot of the information regarding the data that we collect within our districts. There are also in the next section on page 3 through 6, it talks about school accountability and accreditation. And so this report reports on activities that were for the previous year. So even though this is in 23, we're reporting on some of the things that happened in 2022. So it talks about school accountability, what was going on in 2022 as far as the school accountability and the school designations. And it also provides a summary of the accredited schools in Alaska by school type and elementary and secondary, which schools are accredited. And we use Cognia as their vendor that they use to help with their accreditation. We talked a little bit about the federal programs overview. It talks about all of the different programs If you look on page 15 through 22, and I think this is where you want to go, and we can come back to this if you want to, and I can go through the rest pretty quickly. It talks about all the different funding that we get. It goes anywhere from the title programs to IDEA special education, the federal grants, state grants that we provide to districts, as well as some of the, you know, some of the programs that, the Quality Schools Program, which is a grant that helps with aligning standards and instruction to, or aligning instruction to the standards as well as interventions. So the Quality Schools Initiative was started in 1998. We give $4 million out to school districts, and it's based on $16 through adjusted ADM, and this is money that's provided to help them look at alignment to make sure that the instruction and materials that they're using align with our Alaska ELA and math standards. Districts apply for this and they receive the funds and provide a report, which there a lot of the reports are in this, in the thick report, kind of goes over the information we collect from them. So the first one is the curriculum and alignment with the standards. The districts let us know if they are completely, if they feel they're completely aligned, if their curriculum is completely aligned to the standards, and then it also designates who is in progress with that alignment, who's working on that right now, and they've decided to spend their money on that. The report also talks about our school improvement efforts and how we align. I'm on page slide 12, and I'm going really fast. So on page 25 of the thick report, it talks about the efforts that the department has made for looking at the schools who are identified for comprehensive support and improvement as well as targeted support and improvement, and what we do as far as what the districts are required to do and what we provided them as far as professional development and coaching. And it also follows the Alaska Empowerment Playbook, which we put together last year. If on page 28 to 38, here are some of the reports that come from the Quality Schools Grant. We're looking at school interventions, so they're looking at strategies by school districts. So you'll be able to see in kind of a higher view of what kind of intervention each district is providing. And then there's also on page 39 of the report, This gives a report of the turnover of the certified staff. So it looks at principals, it looks at teachers, and it looks at superintendents. It looks at it provides information if they were new, if there was a turnover, and then if there were any transfers. And that's pages 39 to 52 in the report. And so that is the thick report in a nutshell.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions in regards to these slides? Representative Story, please.
Thank you, through the chair. Thank you for being here again this morning and going through this with us. I'm looking at page 15 in the ESSA funds. And it would help me, and I don't, to, you know, give an example. It's every student succeeds. Well, ESEA, Elementary Secondary Education Act. And I do see, through the chair, I do see our superintendent in the audience. But I look at Juno, and it would just help me if to just understand how those funds are utilized. And I don't know, maybe you can explain, it just makes it real for me.
Okay, so through the chair, and this is Deb Riddle, so we can just use Judo as an example. So if you look, the first column is the Title I-A basic. That is the largest pot of money that comes to districts, and it is to for the low income. All of these title programs are based on civil rights litigation or civil rights making everything equitable. So they receive $1 million in Title I-A funds. And Title I-A funds are the kind of a broad overarching, can be used for personnel. It can be used for, different things.
Materials.
Through materials, and it is one that is there's a supplement, not supplant, piece that goes with this. So if in the absence of federal funds, would they be doing this anyway? So like textbooks. Would be they couldn't use this funds for textbooks, but they can use it for intervention materials. And then if we go over to ESEA 1003A, those are the school improvement funds, and those are funds that are provided to districts who received a designation within this accountability. It's $50,000 if they're a comprehensive support and improvement school, or $25,000 if they have a graduation rate or a targeted support intervention.
And it's money to, through the chair.
Go ahead, Ms. McKenzie. It's fine. Thank you.
I forget sometimes. I apologize.
No, it's fine.
It's money to support the school improvement plan that they would put together specific for their district or for their school, for the school that qualifies for that.
Thank you, Representative Story. Do you have a follow-up?
So through the chair, so the 1 million in Juno, I'm looking at 71,000, that can be used. It's targeted for our low income students and interventions. The district can use it how it would like to, in their, like our Title I schools. So, cause I know Title II is for like professional development. So this Title I, can you give me an example?
Through the chair, I'm sorry, through the chair, this is Deb Riddle. The Title I, you can use that for like paraprofessionals to help in the classroom. You can use it for teachers. Schools are either designated school-wide, which means that they can use the funds a little bit more like for school-wide initiatives, or they can be a targeted support, and that means only the students who are identified as Title I, the funds can be used for. On that, so you can use it for materials, you can use it for tutoring interventions, anything that's going to support those students, those targeted populations, the lower income. Yes.
Okay. Through the chair.
Yes, go ahead.
And again, I'm just trying to get a real good picture of it. Would you mind if I see our superintendent of schools is in the audience, if she came and gave us an example of how they were using it? Or
I think right now we're listening to Didi's presentation.
Okay.
But if she wants to follow up with an email or something, that's quite fine.
Okay, thank you.
Are you anything else?
No, that was just, okay, I thought you. That would help us understand.
Representative Ruffridge.
Thank you. Through the chair, thank you for being here this morning. So I wanted to go in the same direction as Representative Story. On page 15 of the report, when it starts talking about the different requirements for federal funding, well, I have a couple of questions. One, are the federal fund dollars calculated by formula similar to our own foundation formula at the federal level? And if so, is that a formula that's set yearly? When is that set? How are those dollars determined, I guess, is my first question.
So through the chair, this is Deborah Riddle. The Title I is based on a formula, a federally approved formula. We had to get that approved by the defense. The school improvement is based on, you know, what designation they have. 1C, which is the migrant for education for migratory children, that's based on a formula and based on the number of students that are identified as migratory children. Title I-D is also based on the number of students within the district that qualify. Then there's a part two, which is a grant, so that there's a specific grant that goes to some schools, and that is something that is applied for. Title II-A, which is for professional development, that is based on the formula. It's based on the size of the school. 3A, which is for the English learners, that is based on the number of English learners within the school district. Title IV is based also on a formula, size of the school. And then the 4B, which is also, that's a competitive grant. And then we have McKinney-Vento, which is also based on a competitive grant. And if we go over to page 17, so 16 is a continuation of the rest of the districts. If you go to 16, IDEA, which is our special education funding, that's based on a formula that's approved by the U.S. Department of Education. We have some discretionary funds for the IDEA that we provide to districts. Carl Perkins is based on a formula. and the comprehensive literacy as the state development grant is a competitive grant.
Hello, Representative Buffer.
Please, yeah, thank you. So DEED wrote, it sounds like, or has a plan that was approved by the federal government for how these funds are granted. Is that an accurate statement?
So through the chair, yes, a lot of this is how the money is distributed is through guidance from the U.S. Department of Education.
Okay, and then last follow-up, if I may.
Of course.
So I've been spending quite a bit of time on the DEED website, trying to look at all of the different things that are reported to the public. And, frankly, there's a lot of reports. It seems like a lot of funding choices are attached to a designation for the school as being either in need of assistance or I'm trying to think of the exact words that are used, but I think you understand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So that's reported on the report card to the public. I said this, I think, in a previous committee, but I'm struggling to understand how those – it just seems like every single school that we have in our state falls almost oddly so into a in-need-of-support category. Is that qualifying us for extra federal money? Is that tied to those federal formulas or no?
So through the chair, this is Deb Riddle. So those are the school improvement funds, the 1003A, and we have about 125 schools that are identified who receive those funds. The 1003A is tied to school improvement. It's tied to Title I. So we get the pot of Title I funds. It runs through the formula, and then a portion of that of those Title I funds based on that formula are for the school improvement efforts. And so that's the budget. It's about $3.5 million that we provide to those schools that are designated through the system for school success, the accountability system.
Just to follow up to that.
Of course. Go ahead.
Thank you. So just want to make sure I understand. So that is a state program. That is not funded with federal dollars. That one, 1003A?
Through the chair, it is federal dollars. It's part of Title I.
Thank you.
Representative Story.
Thank you. Through the chair, so all the funds we're looking at right now under ESEA are all federal dollars that come in. And like I wanted to draw attention to the McKinney-Vento Act, which is the last column on page 15, which is targeted for homeless students, if I'm remembering that correct. And so when I see zeros, it means there's not, because every district across the state, across the nation, gets money for homeless students. But I'm wondering why I see zeros, because I would think there are homeless students in those other communities, and then I see it in the larger communities. So could you explain that a little bit more for me, please?
Through the chair, Representative Story, you're correct. Every district has McKinney-Vento dollars. There are also grants that go to some of the different schools, school districts with larger populations. So you notice that Fairbanks, Juneau, Anchorage, they receive extra funds for those larger populations.
Follow up. Go ahead, Representative Story.
Oh, thank you. So you said every district receives McKinney-Vento funds. How come it's zero?
I will follow up just why it's showing up that way, but they are districts are required to set aside funds for their homeless students and have a homeless liaison. And there is a program. We have a program manager for that. And I can follow up with a better answer for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions, Representative Ruffridge?
Sorry.
No,
I have lots of questions. Can you describe for me what under Title I Part C is the definition of a migratory child?
Okay. Through the chair, a migratory student is a student who lives in a district and has to travel somewhere else to do the migratory activity. In Alaska, it's usually like subsistence fishing, berry picking. So they have to travel and then come back. So that migratory. So what the districts will do is they will reach out to families who have, when they go to subsistence fish or they go berry picking and they miss some school because of that, then they are identified as a migratory student. We do in Alaska have the fifth or sixth largest migrant program in the country. So we do have, there is a lot of money that goes to those migrant students. Not all districts have migrant students, or do they, you know, do they offer those that, you know, you don't, they don't have to utilize that, those funding. Like Juneau doesn't have a migrant program, so they will have a zero in there.
Thank you. Follow up, if I may.
Please.
So just trying to understand the, so this is a probably a series of questions, and I probably share Representative Story's desire to hear from a district, so appreciate the Juneau superintendent being here today. But are these federal dollars applied for by the department on behalf of the district, or does the is the district responsible for applying for these on their own?
So through the chair, there is a consolidated application that districts use that they apply through the department, but that is mostly just to make sure that the funds are within the allowable uses of the funds. They need to say this is what we're going to do, and then we'll say, well, you know, that's a really good choice, or you need to change this, that's not allowable under this specific title, because there are specific rules under some of these. Like, so if you were to, and I'm just going to give the analogy that we use. So every student, so I'll use a cupcake. Every single student in the state gets a cupcake. That's your base student allocation. Everybody gets some. Frosting is your Title I. So it's a little bit, it's above what they get from the VSA. The sprinkles are going to be those programs that are more targeted to students. So your migrant education students are going to be sprinkles. And then your Title III, that's the cherry on the top, because they, you know, a student who is English learner could get the English learner money. They could be a migrant student. They would qualify for migrant funds. They would get the Title I funds, and then they would get the base student allocation. So that's kind of how it works. It's based on the populations that the funding is serving.
Thank you.
More
you have
questions?
Another
oh yes. Okay. Excellent. I'll take.
A couple and then we'll
you got it. Thank you.
Go ahead, Representative.
So I just wanted to make sure I understood the answer. So the department helps the district apply for these funds, but overall it's the responsibility of the district to apply for them?
Through the chair, I'm sorry, I got on a sidetracked.
I heard cupcakes and then I...
And that was it, you were wanting a cupcake. So
Representative McCormick brought us cupcakes actually at his meeting yesterday. Real cupcakes.
Right?
So I had that expectation for every committee meeting. I'm disappointed today.
Yeah. So through the chair, the federal funding is something that is determined by the U.S. Department of Education. So the U.S. Department of Education says, okay, Alaska, you have, you know, based on the information, the reporting that we provide to them every year, they say, okay, Title I, this is how much you're going to get. Title II, this is how much you're going to get. And they give us the grant award notification. And then we run our formulas at the department to figure out what is going out to the districts, which is usually about 95% of that money. And then the rest of it stays to manage those grants. So the money is entitlement funds. So the money comes to the department based on nobody has to apply for it. It just comes to us based on the reporting that we send over to the U.S. Department of Education throughout the year. And then at that point, for us to, we have regulations and rules we have to follow in order to get the money out to the districts. And so that consolidated grant application is what we use to help the districts organize their funds and make sure that everything is being spent the way it's supposed to do. We don't have any supplanting. They're not buying, you know, they're not doing things outside. So like specifically for Title III, if that money is specifically for those English learners or those those students, and if it's not being spent on the students, it's being spent elsewhere. We have to say no. You can't do that. You need to let's stay in this parameters. What's another way we can help you figure out the way to spend that money in that in that specific pot, you know, and then Title II, making sure we have help districts, like they'll want to do some professional development. How can we help them look at, well, let's pay for the training with the Title II funds, but use your Title I funds for your travel, figuring out a way to help them maximize the use of the funds to meet the goals that they have made in their applications.
Thank you. Representative Ruffridge, can I switch off with you? All right. So I'm going to flip to numbers.
Okay.
Could you please tell me about how many direct federal grants to the districts?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
And then a fiscal number.
Oh, a total. Oh, gosh. I don't have the totals right in front. I'll get you the totals.
Okay. Could you round up and give an estimate? And if you could, yes. And do you obviously, this would be the second portion, you track the grants.
So through the chair, yes. I think if Laurel can get a hold of somebody and we can get the number, we'll get that for you really quick. We have lifelines.
Okay.
Can you repeat the second half of that question?
How many direct federal grants to the districts, and do you track them?
Through the chair, yes, we do. We have the consolidated application, so that is where they say what they give their activities. We track that money. They submit for reimbursements quarterly, and those reimbursements are checked against their budget to make sure that it's matching. And then the reimbursements are made. The grants are not. We don't just give the grants out. They have to request reimbursement, and then the funds go out to the districts. And then we have. We're required to run a risk assessment for all of the school districts based on how often they submit their reimbursements. Do they have any findings on their single audits? How much money they have? There's a long list. I'll get there. Yeah. So the risk analysis puts them in an order, and then we have to take those top ones and go monitor. And that monitor means that we go out to the district, and sometimes we do a desk audit if it's a lot of times districts who get more money will be audited more often because they have so much more money and so many more programs. But we go out and spend several days to a week and talk to them about how they're spending their money, looking at some of the programs that they're doing, providing some technical assistance. We've tried to keep the monitorings more as technical assistance, because we will have worked with them throughout the year to make sure that everything is in compliance, and then go out and look at what they're doing and chat with them and help. Is there anything that you need help with? Here's some things that we noticed. What can we do to help you fix that? At the end of that monitoring visit, the districts will they'll kind of districts and the department will kind of talk back and forth, and we'll send them a list of if there's some things that are not in compliance, we'll send them a letter with a list of the compliance things that they need to fix. They'll have a certain amount of time to fix that, to provide evidence that they have it where it should be, and then the monitoring is closed, and then we start the whole thing the next year. So every year we'll monitor probably, I think, for the title programs, probably I would say about 10 districts. For the special ed, that money has got more tighter restrictions on it. They go out and they monitor each district for a different component each year. So those districts are monitored for special ed funding every year. And then for the Carl Perkins, which is the CTE, they monitor every year, but I think they only do maybe six, have to do six or eight per year. So yes, we do monitor them.
Okay, so I'm going to do a quick follow-up. So now that was federal. So we're going to talk about state and local revenue. And it sounds like even if I ask the question that we don't have a total. But I want the public to know what buckets we have. So I'm going to ask you the question, and if you have a total, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be no, you'll get back to us. So, and that's what I was trying to prevent today. So we'll do a complete another round when I chair again. So city borough appropriations, REAA municipal tax. Could you one, tell us what REAA, the acronym stands for the public to hear, and then tell me what is the total of those funds that the municipalities or the boroughs collect for the school districts? And then if you could, which you can't today, because for whatever reason, deeds didn't come with the information, I'd like it broken down by city, by district. So 54 districts, city borough appropriations, REAA, and how much each gets. And then if you could explain to the public the acronym, please.
Through the chair, Director McKenzie, speaking, REAA stands for Regional Education Attendance Area, and it's usually a group of districts.
There you go. Okay, and then we'll get that information.
Yes.
And you don't have that right now, correct?
We do not.
Okay. I'm going to go to a couple more columns, and then I'll let the committee continue. In-kind services for the REAA, could you tell me the total, and what does in-kind services mean for the public?
So through the chair, this is Deb Riddle. I don't have those types of totals, but in-kind is like a volunteer. So I'll use an example for Head Start. Pre-K funding. So Head Start has to provide. They get a grant from the U.S. Department of Education. They have to, or Health and Social Services, they have to do a 20% match. So they have to have some money into, but that can be done in kind. So that can be volunteer. It can be donations. It can be maybe somebody else who's working with them. It's not necessarily cash, but it has can be assigned a cash value.
And then if I could get that information broken down by district as well. The next column is going to be earnings on investments. What does that mean for public? And I would like a copy for every district and a total.
Okay, through the chair, this is Deborah Riddle. That is not something that our division does. And so we will get that for you.
Okay.
So I don't know.
So that would come from somebody that's not here that probably should have been here to go over these and get those answers. Okay. Other local revenue. Do you know what that means?
So through the chair, other local revenue would be what they get from the local, like from the municipality or other grants that they get from other places. And that is something that the Department of Innovation, we don't have that in our division.
Okay. So. And then I would request that we get that total and broken down by district as well. Tuition from students.
The chair, that is something that I don't have.
Okay, if I can get that broken down by district and total as well. I want to go through, I'll just finish up with this page. Tuition from districts. No?
The chair, no.
Okay, if we can get the total and broken down by districts. E-rate.
So through the chair, E-rate, that is not something that our division works with. We'll have to get somebody here. To
okay, me. Broken Sorry. Down by district and total, please. State revenue. What do you guys collect broken down by district and a total?
So, through the chair, we don't have that. What our division does, we deal with the federal programs that go out to districts and those grants that go to districts that we manage. And so these are probably from the finance department.
All right. So when I spoke to the commissioner a couple weeks ago about getting this information, that was not what I received. Okay. I just want the public to know and the commissioner to also know that this information is what I was looking for. This is what I requested. I requested numbers, budget, where all the funds come from, and how they're contributed, broken down by district. Anybody have any questions before I go into a second page? Representative Story, please.
Thank you, through the chair. And this is kind of a comment. A lot of those things, like E-rate, we have gotten earlier in our packets, and we do have the total number. Federal has it. I think I'm just clarifying, Chair, you're meaning just breaking down into the districts, like adding up these columns.
But no, Representative Story, I don't recall getting those numbers put on public record. But thank you.
Sure.
Do you have a question to Deeds?
I know.
Thank you. Does anybody else have a question? Representative Hemshoot.
Thank you. This is to the chair. Where did you get this document? What are you working from?
Do you have a question for Deeds?
No.
This is a Deeds document that I'm working off their numbers. Did you have a question for Deeds?
No. Could I get the same document through the chair? Could I get that document as well?
They didn't give it to me.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other questions? No? Okay. Then I'm going to ask more about the federal and other revenue. Okay. So let's go back here. The ones that I just gave to you for the state and local revenue, At the bottom column, if you add all those columns up, I'd like an overall total as well, please. The next one is federal and other revenue. And this would be broken by, down by district, federal revenue. Do you know the total? And do you know?
So you're talking about the, through the chair, sorry.
Define what federal revenue means, if you could, please.
I'm through the chair. Are you talking about the grants that we receive for the federal?
Yeah, it says federal revenue.
Yeah, I will have to, we'll have to
find. Check on that one. Okay. If we can, and I think that one might be different, but it could be the same. We'll see what you guys come up with. Okay. This is federal revenue that the schools receive. So do you have an example, since it's my district and my ASD, unless another committee member wants to put their district out there, Representative Hinshu, do you want to volunteer your district? See if they have the number for it, for federal revenue?
Sure.
Okay. What school district do you have?
Through the chair, I have several districts. I have 12 districts.
Okay.
The district I work in is Sitka School District.
Okay. Do you have the federal revenue number for Sitka School District?
Through the chair, we have their federal grants on the document. I can get you a spreadsheet. We have one that where it goes all the way across.
Okay. Do you have a number for Sitka, though?
I will. I don't have it with me.
Okay. And then the other one is a column that says total revenue without transfers in. Do you know what that means?
Through the chair, I do not.
Okay. If I can get a total and broken down by district. And then my next question is fund transfers in. Do you know what that means?
Through the chair, that's from the finance team.
Okay. If I can get a total broken down by districts. Total revenues?
Through the chair, the finance department will get that.
Total combined with it broken down by districts too, please. Foundation ADM.
The foundation ADM, that would be the BSA, and I have just the federal dollars through the chair.
On the record, what ADM?
So through the chair, ADM is average daily membership.
Okay. And you don't have that total?
Through the chair, that is on the finance.
Okay. Thank you. And then revenue per ADM, broken down by district and a total. Do we have those?
Through the chair, that's through the finance. We'll get the
Okay. Thank you. Are there any questions from the committee? Nothing?
Excuse me. This document that you have in your hand, I don't see that in the in our
It's not. It's me just asking my questions.
Okay. That is something that you picked up off the deed website? Okay. Mm-hmm. Could you?
It comes from them.
Yeah.
So the other questions would be, you guys will get all that information for us.
Okay.
Based on what they get back to us, based on my questions, we could definitely hand that out to the committee. Okay. This is something my office put together. All right. So does anybody have any further questions?
Maybe we could take a brief at ease.
Brief at ease. Okay, calling the Education Committee back to order. I don't think, and I'll do one last round of answering our questions for anybody. Did any of the committee members have any questions? No? So I want to make it clear that I am asking questions that I thought the people would be here today from Deeds to respond to. That didn't happen. I apologize, ladies, that you guys were put on the hot seat, but these are questions that I really needed answered, and this is what I was promised I was going to get. So if there's no other committee member questions, do you have any closing comments? Representative Story, were you going to ask?
So through the chair, I believe that, and we'll find these documents, but I believe that some of these questions we had at the beginning of the year. And so we'll just round that back up and then add to what it is that you need.
Absolutely. That sounds wonderful. Ms. McKenzie, do you have any closing comments?
Through the chair, it's Director McKenzie, just apologize that there was a lack of communication about what you wanted and what we thought you wanted. We would have been ready.
I know you would have. Thank you, Ms. McKenzie. I appreciate it. And I think I just have the wrong team in front of me. You guys are excellent. You've always done great presentations, and I appreciate it. We are adjourned. But I step back. Let's go back through here. Thank you for being here with us today for your presentation. That concludes our business on Monday. The committee will be hearing public testimony on eight. Representative McCormick has a question or a comment.
Thank you, through the chair. Not relevant, but it was stated earlier on that I made cupcakes for my committee. That was not true. It was my staffer, Mina Ryan. It was her birthday. Just want to get that on the record. Thank you, Chair Allen.
Very welcome, Representative McCormick. That concludes our business for today. On Monday, the committee will be hearing public testimony on HB 69 and hearing HB 9 and HB 10. I believe that will be being shared by co-chair Representative Ruffridge. Seeing no other business before the committee, we will adjourn. Let the record reflect the time is 8:49.